Hello, everybody. This is Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We are also broadcasting online, so you can go to kpppfm.com and listen live.
Yep.
And we are going to be talking today about false Messiah.
That's right. Another false witness.
Another false witness, yes. In the continuing story of Kathleen Bennett and Mary Trujillo.
Yeah.
As many of you know, that family has been reunited except for Kathleen Bennett. And Mary Trujillo is home. She is doing very well. I am bringing you more information now about the people that have given false statements against Kathleen. And we're going to examine who these people are and what it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody do that to this family?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they get involved in something like this, in a scheme like this with Melanie Stoneman and Bill Renningfisher?
And to the extent they have, you know. And we do apologize if we're freezing up. We're losing some packets, you know, so that's just the way it goes. I'm going to try to modify that and make it work a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And we shall see. But yeah, it's bizarre that these people, and the more we dig into the witnesses who have put Kathleen Bennett in jail, we're finding that they're all made up lies. And we're looking at a list of them. We've only uncovered a couple of them. You know, the first one starting with Billy Renningfisher, the key witness in this case, full of lies. And we just covered Badger Olive, right? Olivia. And she's another false witness. So
what's her real name? Olivia?
Olivia Bias. Olivia something Bias.
Olivia Bias.
Yes.
That's her real name. And it's kind of frustrating. Many of you who have been following the reporting that we've been doing, this in-depth investigation of this case for months, know that it has many twists and turns, and there has been many, many witnesses involved.
Yeah.
And what's really disturbing to me is that as this story was being exposed, as we were exposing Melanie Stoneman and Bill Renningfisher and L'Oreal Blackshaw and making the connections with the security at the camp with Von Bull Lodge and then Von getting kicked out of the camp and L'Oreal leaving the camp at the same time as he did, and all of these things occurring, we were notifying people. The story was huge. It was in the AP and the Bismarck Tribune. It got all over the country.
It did, yes.
It wasn't like it was something people didn't know about. It was very, it was a very infamous story about the camps. One of the most heinous accusations made about any water protectors. And there were a lot of people, you know, when I started looking at who is the witnesses in this case, I was really surprised and shocked that there were so many people at the camp in that inner circle of people on the security team, on the medics team, that knew about this, should have known, were very close to the people that knew. I find it hard to believe you didn't have anything to do with this.
Exactly.
I don't believe it, that you don't have any knowledge, you don't have any concern, you didn't have anything to do with criminalizing an innocent woman and almost killing her mother.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we're examining all of these statements, because I want you to see for yourselves and make your own decision about what do you think these people know and don't know. What do you think this means? We're going to start by talking about... Oh, first, we should tell people... By the way, I appreciate all of your tips and information.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It takes us a long time to compile our shows. That's why sometimes we don't do one right away after a big project like this, because it takes a lot of time to do the research. It takes a lot of time to compile this information and to get it to you, to expose it to you in such a way that it's something you can understand, you know, something that you can ingest and understand. So we really do appreciate all of your comments, all of your tips mm-hmm. on this and other cases. And we do intend to take on other investigative report projects as we have always done.
Yes.
But we will remain on this topic until it
is
no longer necessary.
Until Kathleen Bennett is free. Yeah. Let's do this till Kathleen Bennett is free. A water protector who's been in jail with two felony charges for abusing her mother, which isn't true. Her mother is actually back at home with her family. It's time to get Kathleen out of North Dakota back to her home with her family. We don't hear people talking about this much. It's an egregious injustice against two water protectors mm-hmm. and that are historically
and
connected.
And her whole family was affected.
Yes, her whole family. And here we are. Kathleen's in jail. We don't hear anything about it except a few articles from the Bismarck Tribune who went to the AP wire and spread around the whole nation. There's mm-hmm. been no counter articles or no investigation. And we've sent this story to many media platforms, independent media, and kind of independent media who's pretty big. No one wants to cover it because it's too complex.
And many of these same witnesses also have their own cases in court.
Yeah.
Also have a lot of, media following them around, having spotlighted them. And there's tons of people at the camp doing fundraisers and live streams and call outs for help for these people that have been on these security teams, have been water protectors out at the camp. But these same people who know people who are mm-hmm. they themselves are witnesses
exactly
in this case.
Mm-hmm.
They said nothing about Kathleen Bennett.
Yeah.
They still haven't said anything to free her.
Yeah.
They've said nothing about Mulaney and her mm-hmm. corruption, even though they've mm-hmm. been close to her. They've said nothing about Mary Trujillo languishing in a hospital on morphine and Ativan and being close to dying.
Yep.
In the care of Mulaney, under the care of Mulaney Stoneman and the guardianship of Mulaney Stoneman. That is really, really hard for me to swallow and accept.
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of Mulaney Stoneman, how can folks get a hold of us, Robert?
Oh, yeah, many ways.
That's why I had turned it that way.
That's right. I was there for a while. We got talking about what's going on. You know, we want you to tell us what's going on. You know, like Cindy said, we've had many, many tips, a lot of information that we are not capable of actually being able to get. It's because you've out there, if you've been digging, people have been digging into things. They've been sending us information, sending us videos, sending us clips to different places. And you can do that in many ways. One way is to give us a call at our message line. It's a message line, so you leave a message. And it's 701-566-0917. You have about 3 minutes to leave a message. We'll get back to you. You know, sometimes people leave a message. We play it on the air. You know, just let us know whether you want that to happen. Usually we just try to take the information and get back to you. You can also find us on Facebook at the People's Press Project, Mexican, and of course, 88.1. Also, you can tweet us at media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke at kpppfm.com. And we put all of our podcasts and all of our shows and all of our Facebook lives are embedded on our website at kpppfm.com.
Yes, that's how you get a hold of us. Thank you for all of you who have continued to follow this story and who have helped. I mean, this is something immensely incredible that has occurred.
Yeah.
Because due to your help, your research, your vigilance, our reporting mm-hmm. and our research here and exposure of what Mulaney Stoneman was doing to this elder and what she did to Kathleen Bennett and what all of these other people corroborated and helped her do to this family, she would not have relinquished her guardianship over this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have killed her.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't. And also, Mary probably would not have been released into the care of her family.
Exactly.
She would still have her death grip on her.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two incredible things. When people ask me, why are you talking about this? Because look what we did. That's what media justice looks like. And there is more to come because Kathleen Bennett needs to be free.
Exactly.
And we're going to explain to you why I believe this information is important. We're going to start off with Mulaney herself telling you who is involved. Who was there when she heard about the elder abuse? Who was with her? And here we go.
And here we go.
Here we go.
And here we go. Sometimes there are technical difficulties, you know, that trying to run all these things and see what's happening.
And you better call this lady and tell her exactly when the date and time that you told me this in December, and so you say December 6th. I said, because I find that very, very impossible for that to happen. And because of these, I found out the same day that Christina found out. Because he's the one who ordered her out. He's the one who came to us, or came to Christina, Olive, and Messiah, and then turned around and came to me at the meeting because I just pulled in. I just pulled in at about 2:30. I was in my meeting, maybe about 4:30. We were over there at her turn, people called EMS. So that's the first time that I've heard any of that kind of information. If he came to me and told me on December 6th, I don't need his, just because he says whoever he is, I don't need his permission to try to help that woman. I don't need his permission or Esmond or security or nobody, because how the infrastructure is there, the woman's society is the one who handles it and takes care of it right then, right there.
Hold on a second. Is that the one where she said Messiah and Olive?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard that, and she said that her women's society takes care of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And the people that were there was Messiah.
Yeah.
And Olive,
yeah,
and Christine. That's Christina Hollenbeck.
Mm-hmm.
We already told you about her.
Yeah,
and we will be talking more about her in the future.
That's right. We've talked about Olive, right? AKA Badger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did a whole show on that.
Yep, we did a whole show on Olive and Badger.
And then you read up in the corner. This says Messiah. There's a new witness.
Right. This is Messiah, because Olive said that she and Messiah were out there. But first, I want you to hear what she says about them. Because if you will recall, Mulaney talked about the hierarchy at the camp. And she said that the medics report to her. If this had happened and she had been there,
mm-hmm.
And she could have, and she would have been notified by the medics, and she would have been notified by the women's security.
Yeah.
And Olive talked about the women's security.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to listen to that audio. We're going to listen to those videos again, because I find it very interesting when we're exposing Mulaney and the horrible things that she did to this family, who shows up to defend this evil? Who shows up to defend these lies? Who shows up to defend these crimes?
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to see who shows up to defend this.
Yeah.
And we will be showing you who has defended all of this. Because then you'll know where these people are at. Who in their right mind could ever show up and defend the actions of Mulaney?
Yeah.
Or what she's doing, or what she stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Or the people around her, the people that helped her, the false witnesses in this case. And those who would defend them as well.
Exactly.
So we've been seeing that. We've been seeing a lot of it. I want you to hear what Mulaney says. Here she is talking about the hierarchy at the camp and how the medics report to her. The security reports to her. The reason why it was not reported until December 17th was because there was an emergency evacuation on the 6th, and he told the proper people, he told you, because you were in charge of the medic women's thing and the women's healer council or something like that, and he said that L'Oreal was the head of security and his commander or something like that, and that that's who was supposed to be in charge, so that is who he reported it to. And yes, that,
I would find that. I think he would know who he reported that and who does, because this is how it goes. When something like that happens, it goes from the medics. The medics would contact me, just like the first incident. Okay, medics would contact me first, and then security gets there. Women's security, part of our women's society, we have people on the ground. Women's security and medics would then turn around and contact me. It's not just that, just because Bill found her, or just because Bill said this, then there's still a system that's set up that they would turn around and tell me what's going on, just like the first incident. That's how it's all been played out with every single incident that we've ever ran into. Every single time, this is how it's handled.
Every single time, this is how it's handled.
Yep.
This isn't our first incident. Tell me more, Mulaney.
Yeah.
How many other people did you railroad?
Mm-hmm.
How many other people did you exploit?
Yeah.
How many other people did you rob? How many other people did you steal from? Because there are accusations that Mulaney stole from people at the camp. And it was interesting to see who showed up to defend her then as well.
Exactly.
Very interesting. I would like now for us to turn to Olive's statement. And this is, again, the case report from Josh Selly and the email statement.
Yeah.
And in this report, I'm going to read to you from her statement, her email statement, in which she says, on December 7th, and then it says in written above it, actually the 6th, myself and Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Messiah were patrolling the camp,
yeah,
checking on the women. And we found a tarpy. Modernized teepee structure covered with white tarp with a wood stove inside. Okay, I'm not going to read this all again to you. You saw it in the last show. If you didn't see it, go back and watch it. But this is what she said. Her and Messiah. And remember, because Messiah was there at the time that she was there, and this was not the only time they did patrols together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they said that they went back to see her. You're going to see that in a minute. They said that they were actually checking on her at all times.
Yeah.
Olivia in the videos in which she's talking on Mike Marcus's feed and on Mike Fasig's feed, she says that it was because that actually she says that the women's security team and the Two Spirit security and the Akichitas actually formed to do patrols in the camp.
Yeah.
I found that very interesting because that is not what the security was like at the camp.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't running around doing invasive searches on people.
That's right. They were there
knocking
in
people's houses and doing warrantless searches.
Exactly.
What's going on in here?
Yep. See if you have any weapons. You don't have any. Well, we're checking on you.
That never happened.
Mm-hmm.
That admission that they formed these security teams to go and patrol people, like cops, to go and check on people. They made it sound like they were checking to make sure people were safe and had water and had food. But as you can see, there's a bunch of people on that security team that were trolling this family.
Yeah.
And writing false statements about them.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of them. And they're ridiculous statements, unprovable statements, false statements. That is what makes them so egregious.
Yes.
Because in this statement that Olive made, if you will recall, she said that Kathleen told her that she wasn't even supposed to be in the camp because she got kicked out back when her mom got hit in the face with a chair and raped.
Yeah.
And that she, Olive, knew about those previous incidences. How in the hell are all of these people not in jail for knowing about these multitudes of crimes that none of them reported when they're on the security team?
Exactly.
When they're supposed to be protecting women and children and elders and two-spirit people. Is that how you do it? By not reporting heinous crimes, violent crimes against people that you knew about? That's an interesting way of protecting people.
Yeah.
And then Messiah. So let's go to the... Wait. No, no. First, I want you all to hear that video of what she says to...
What
she says about
Badger.
Olive.
Oh, Badger. Badger, yes.
Olive and Badger, what she says.
Mm-hmm.
And what Michael Fassick said that she had said.
Yeah.
Because he said she didn't know anything. Nobody knew anything. He didn't know anything. He didn't know anybody. And nobody knew anything about this.
That's
they never
right.
saw Mulaney before. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But Badger contradicted all of that.
Yeah.
And listen for this, because this is important. This is what I want you to listen for today.
Yeah.
I want you to listen for the part where Olive tells you that the whole purpose of the creation, the formation of these two-spirit security, women's security, Akichita security, was to patrol, to do these patrols and to check on people, to check on the Unchis, especially after the blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And that she, meaning Mary, was one of the Unchis they were watching.
Yeah.
Listen to the words she uses. And that, in fact, it was because of the patrols. It was because of their patrols that the abuse on this Unchi Mary was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why it was discovered. And in the police report, in the police statements that were given and summarized by the police, it says very clearly that Mulaney and a bunch of these other people described these incidents, these three incidences that they knew about of abuse, including a statement from Mulaney where she said she'd already warned Kathleen that she couldn't tie her mother down.
Yeah.
And that they didn't tolerate that in the camp. Well, if she does have a zero tolerance policy, as she has said many, many times, we don't tolerate that, we don't tolerate this, then why didn't she do something about it? Why didn't she report it to anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Insane. And then I want you to also listen to Olive when she talks about who, or specifically, more specifically, who these people are. That are the different security teams. You have the Akichita, you have the women's security, and you have the two-spirit.
Exactly.
Right? Because she breaks it down. And she says, Mulaney is not lying about what she said about that Unchi in one of the videos where she's on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
She said she's not lying about what she said about that Unchi. And she says that she knows because she saw it with her own two eyes.
Exactly.
At the time she did that live stream, this was back right after the day after they burned the veterans headquarters.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I don't think Mulaney had already reneged on her story where she stated that, or maybe Badger hadn't listened to the shows, where she basically said, you know, I didn't know anything about any abuse.
That's
I had
right.
never heard anything like that.
That's right.
I didn't believe anything I did hear.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw any signs of any kind of abuse. I didn't witness anything. We just took her to the hospital because everybody had to be evacuated because Archambault said all women and children and elders had to be evacuated. And we told her the weather conditions weren't good for her and that she needed to go get checked out at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she even rode along. We even gave her money for the hotel.
Yep. Exactly.
But Olive says she's substantiating Mulaney because Mulaney has lied to us. Mm-hmm. She has lied to the public. She has lied to the media. She has portrayed herself as someone that has very, very little to do with accusing Kathleen. She's just the good lady that was taking care of the elder that was abused. That's all she knows.
Yeah.
You know, apparently that stuff happened. I don't know. But, you know, she didn't believe any of it. She didn't know about it. That's for sure. She didn't even talk to the police.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to stay behind the scenes and hide the omnipresence of her importance to this case. In fact, a new story has come out in the Bismarck Tribune. If somebody has the link to it, I didn't think to grab it, but we'll show it to you at another time, because I'm going to go back over the stuff that Mulaney has said, and I'm going to give you some new information about her in an upcoming show. But today we're going to talk about Messiah.
Yep.
So I don't want to get too far off track, but I just want to remind you of the way in which these people connect to each other. And she said in her statement to the police, she told me that she made a statement to the police on the 19th of January.
Yeah.
That's when she finally talked to the police, on the same day that she called to tell me that Mary was dying. And then the next day she went and cleaned out Mary's account and blamed Kathleen for it.
And got her charged with another charge.
And got her charged with a new charge.
Exploitation of a vulnerable adult.
And that day when I talked to her and I asked her, what are you talking about, other charges? What are you saying about that? She said, just you wait and see.
Yeah.
I said, she's still in jail for something you know didn't happen. And she said, yeah, and she'll probably be there for a long time.
Exactly.
Okay. Because there's going to be more charges coming. And now she appears in the Bismarck Tribune in an article, which basically says, very interestingly, by the way, that this case hinges on testimony from Mulaney Stoneman and Bill Running Fisher. And what have they testified about?
Yeah.
Lies.
Lies.
Complete fabrications and lies. And yet, the Bismarck Tribune is still printing stories telling you that there is a shred of truth to any of this.
Yeah.
She even makes the mistake of telling people that she's trying to help get the grandmother back together with her family in New Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrong state, Mulaney. Sorry. Plus, also, she's already with her family, and you didn't help.
Yeah.
You were trying to hinder that process. Yeah, don't lie.
You were trying to keep her there.
You were trying to hide her.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even want the public to know that poor woman was there, and she wasn't going there to see her.
Yeah.
Sick. Sick, sick, sad, and twisted. So now, I want you to hear what Olive said and what Michael said. Listen carefully for those things I told you to listen for. Maybe.
All right. Just takes me a second.
Whatever's going on over at Cindy's 88.1's claiming that Badger is a key witness to this, that's false. Badger is not a key witness to this. Badger was able to give me more information about this, but Badger herself actually is not involved, because she's not. Badger had nothing to do with what was going on with the grandmother and the daughter. I had really nothing to do with it, because I wasn't even around, and I heard about all of it afterwards. Rattler had nothing to do with it.
Terry, what about the article in Bismarck paper about the elder with dementia being abused by her daughter and people ignoring it?
Okay, that is not true. Just to put this out here too, that's one reason why like Women in Two-Spirit Security in Akititas was like formed in the first place, was because we were going to check, we would do checks around camp, I can't get this in here, especially during the blizzard, to like check on the Unchis and stuff, and she was one of the ones that we were watching, and because we were doing patrols like that, that's the only reason why the abuse that was discovered, was because we were doing patrols.
Subject got changed in my last live feed. Was somebody over there was saying that Badger is a prime witness in that case. And that started that right there, and then Cindy going on and on and on about throwing that whole case out there and blowing things up about it. started a whole chain of events where now all of a sudden we all got interested. I got interested. I wanted to find out what was going on. I remembered conversations with Badger. Nothing was derogatory in those conversations about Kathleen or the family. So it was really confusing to me to hear that she, you know, how could she be a witness against them when I never heard anything that would sound like that from her. So I got confused about it. I remember
the whole thing with the Uchi too. I'm going to put out there because I was involved with that whole situation with the Two-Spirit and women's security. I don't care what people's opinions are about Melanie. Like, she's a good woman, even if people find her abrasive, and she's not lying about what happened to that grandmother. And I know because I saw it with my own eyes. So she's like, there's multiple stories that this woman has put out. It's multiple stories that this woman on 88.1 has put out about Camp Lewis.
Something going on over at 88.1 where somebody was claiming that me and Mulaney, you know, were some type of a team or some type of a whatever, you know, and I've talked to her in person for like 5 minutes, and I've talked to her on the phone, you know, for another 6 minutes. That's my only experience I've ever had with her. You know, I don't know, and when I talked to her in person, I didn't know who she was. She was just another person being introduced to me. I shook her hand and said hi, and you know, I even walked away not knowing who she was. The main thing right now is that is the grandmother safe? Is the grandmother being cared for? What I found out also is that Mulaney does not have custody of the grandmother. Mulaney gave up custody only a few days ago. The grandmother is in custody of the state. So Mulaney freely let go of that one. Why should that? I don't know. You know, that's all I know. So, Mulaney is the one doing all the name dropping. Cindy admits Mulaney is lying. Okay. I haven't watched through that show, so I don't know who is the one saying that Badger's a witness. Badger's not a witness. Badger is not capable of being a witness to this. She wasn't a participant in what had happened. None of us were.
The whole thing with the Uchi too, I'm going to put out there because I was involved with that whole situation with the Two-Spirit and women's security. I don't care what people's opinions are about Mulaney. Like, she's a good woman, even if people find her abrasive, and she's not lying about what happened to that grandmother. And I know because I saw it with my own eyes. So she's like, there's multiple stories that this woman has put.
That Badger's a witness. Badger's not a witness. Badger is not capable of being a witness to this. She wasn't a participant in what had happened.
And I know because I saw it with my own eyes.
So, first of all, you guys, Badger is not a witness in the Mary Kathleen case.
I know because I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah, she knows because she saw it with her own eyes.
Now you saw it with your own eyes now.
And we've seen it too with our own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard it with our own ears that she said, I was involved with that whole situation with the Two-Spirit and women's security.
Exactly.
And we're about to find out that Messiah is with the Two-Spirit security.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Another player.
They were doing the... Here you heard it from Badger's mouth, from Olivia's mouth, mm-hmm. right from the source. And, okay, then... And so, you know, I wanted to contrast that because mm-hmm. Michael Fasig did come on our show, but only to say, you know, I don't know anything about this, people tagged him because they thought he was a good person that might help mm-hmm. this family or do mm-hmm. something since he was part of the security
and know something,
know people out there.
And know whether something happened or not.
Right. He would have information. He's like, I don't know anything about this. Acted all like defensive and mm-hmm. overreacted to the whole thing. But when people show you that overreaction to all this, it's because they have something to hide.
Yep.
Thou dost protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
They start backing up like they took a big dump in the middle of the room.
That's right.
And so here's the thing. You need to know that there's a lot of, like I said, I don't believe you didn't know when you're standing 2 feet mm-hmm. away from the person talking about this.
Yep.
And several other people talking about this, and you never heard about it, and you lived under a rock. You didn't read a newspaper yep. or hear anything mm-hmm. about what was mm-hmm. happening. The accusations at the camp, you seem to be part of every single fundraiser for all the other water protectors.
Exactly.
But you didn't hear about this, right? I don't believe it. Okay, anyway, moving on. I want to show you Messiah's statement. Here it is, so you guys can see it. There are a bunch of people saying that the statement given by this Olive or Olivia mm-hmm. wasn't really her statement. Somebody else had given that statement to the police on her behalf.
Yep.
And I was like, how do you know? You know that a crime has been committed and you haven't told anybody? How do you know that? So they must have a secret, or they must know who really wrote that mm-hmm. or how all of this could have gotten into the police report
yeah.
if it wasn't coming from the person. And also, I think that it's really interesting what people were alleging in terms of Olivia's knowledge of mm-hmm. the situation, or how much she knew about the situation. Yeah. She says, and Messiah is going to say in her statement, that they were making regular, they were watching this yeah. Unchi.
Yep.
Creepy.
Yeah.
They were watching her. They were going back and they were checking on her on a number of occasions, all to culminate in taking her away from the care of the person that had been caring for her. And for years, her mm-hmm. daughter, Kathleen, mm-hmm. exactly. who was doing a good job of caring for her and putting her in the care of Melanie Stoneman,
mm-hmm.
the woman that brought her to the brink of death.
Exactly.
And did not return her in the same or better shape exactly. as when she got mm-hmm. her. And, you know, all these people, especially the men in these security teams, were always like, oh, deference to the women.
Exactly.
And you know, protect the women.
That's right. And elders and children are the most important. You know,
talking about how they listen to the women and
women and elders,
their society.
Children.
They protect the women and blah, 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 about protecting the women. Mm-hmm. All about protecting the women. But then you did this to two water protectors?
Mm-hmm.
Two women? I don't understand how those two things are congruent. I mean, that makes you a hypocrite yep. at the very least, and a liar at worst.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show you the statement now. Here it goes. This is the statement of Messiah. This is from the case report of Morton County on page 7 of 8 of all of these statements.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, Messiah, women's security. She said Olive and herself were doing house checks on December 7th. This mm-hmm. sounds like the report was taken by the police officer from the person.
Yep.
She said, he says, okay. She said Olive and herself were doing house checks on December 7th. They went to Mary's Tarpy to see if she needed anything. House checks. See, again, she refers yeah. to the facts that they were doing house checks
mm-hmm.
randomly on people.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, while Olive was talking to Mary's daughter, she, meaning Messiah, was talking to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. She was talking to Mary? I wonder if she realizes that Mary has dementia. and is very... close to completely nonverbal and has been for years.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. Maybe, just like when Messiah entered along with Badger Olive into the tent and Kathleen suddenly started telling them all this crazy stuff about how she wasn't supposed to be there mm-hmm. and her mom had been raped and hit with the chair
yeah.
and that she didn't have any water and she leaves her mom tied down to her chair all day sometimes when she goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the same magic of Messiah worked on Kathleen and on Mary, and she became verbal and she yeah. was able to talk.
That's right. She's speaking clearly all of a sudden.
Because these stories are really fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean incredible. And by incredible, I mean total BS.
Exactly.
one is more fantastic than the next. So they went to her tarpy, and she, Messiah, was talking to Mary. She said Mary showed her a bruise on her left wrist, and then they had to bring water and toilet paper since there were none in the tarpy. Messiah said that on December 10th, they did another check and them in much the same condition. I believe they meant to say that they checked on them again and found them in much the same condition.
Yeah.
Messiah said she was concerned for Mary. She said she never saw her out of her chair or in different clothes.
Hmm.
Okay, that is a summarized statement, the statement in the police report. Yeah. Now, let's look at Messiah's
actual
email.
Oh.
The email that was sent to the police, sent to Josh Selly from Christina Hollenbeck.
Oh, yeah.
Christina Hollenbeck.
Remember that.
On Tuesday, December 20th. And it says below, please find the statement regarding Mary Trujillo from one of our women's security, Messiah. And this is what Messiah said. On December 7th, myself and Olive were doing house checks. We went down to Mary's tarpy to introduce ourselves and to see if they needed anything. Now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
In the video that we just showed of Olive, she said this is one of the Unchis they had been watching, yeah, and that in fact it was the very purpose of these security teams to go and do these checks on people, and that it was because of all the checks that they had been doing that this abuse was discovered. Mm-hmm. And she also said that the abuse about the rape and the hitting with the chair, that she knew about those incidences.
Mm-hmm.
So why in the hell would they need to introduce themselves?
Yeah, exactly.
That don't make no sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think they got their stories straight. They should have practiced more before they lied together.
Exactly.
All these people should have practiced more before they lied together because they suck at it.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. Okay. So it says, we were invited in. Mary, her daughter, and the dogs were the only ones present. At least Messiah talks about the dogs, because a lot of these other people don't ever mention them. Olive spoke with the daughter, and I interacted with Mary. She was sitting in her chair. She was sitting in her seat, very silent, watching me closely.
Yeah.
They let us know that they were in need of water and toilet paper. Before we left, Mary looked at me and lifted her sleeve, revealing a bruise on her left wrist. And I mouthed, ouch. And she mouthed, it doesn't hurt.
Really?
It was a relief to see her interacting. Why are they whispering?
Yeah.
A moment ago in her statement, she said, while, you know, Olive was talking to Kathleen, Messiah went over to talk to Mary, and she couldn't talk in a loud voice to her.
Yeah.
I mean, if Mary decided she was going to whisper, why did Messiah start out whispering?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Are they in high school? Hey.
Yeah.
Look, I got a bruise.
Ouch.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
That's a complete sentence. I don't think that Mary even speaks in complete sentences.
Exactly.
And most of the time, it doesn't happen very often, but she usually only uses one word.
Mm-hmm.
When she is at all verbal.
Yeah.
We left and returned with toilet paper. Mary called me over and gave me a kiss on the cheek. We said, wow.
Yeah.
Total stranger. She just met her, apparently. Mm-hmm. According to Messiah, because they just introduced themselves.
Yeah.
And she kisses her. Remember who else said that Mary kissed them?
Didn't Billy Running Fisher say
Billy
that?
Billy Running Fisher said that she magically spoke Lakota exactly. only.
Yeah.
Except for when she said, help me.
Yeah.
And kissed his hand.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
Which was completely nuts because she went to a boarding school and didn't speak hardly any Lakota.
Mm-hmm.
She knew a few words, but other than that, didn't speak it. Also, has dementia, is very nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
These stories are incredibly wild, and they will get crazier as we go along. So, what else does Messiah say? We said we would be returning and doing regular checks. There it is.
Yep.
Going to keep doing this. I left feeling concerned, and we continued to do checkups. December 10th, we did another checkup. They were still in need of water that we brought, and spoke a bit with the family. Okay, let me just remind you of something else. Yeah. We just listened to Olivia's statement.
Mm-hmm.
It was lengthy. And by the way, she admitted in the videos that she did on Facebook that she was watching this Unchi along with the women's security and the two-spirit security. And that they were doing these regular checks on her specifically because they were watching her. And that's how they discovered the abuse. How come she only reports about one time that she went?
Yeah.
How come she doesn't mention they went back on the 10th
mm-hmm.
like Messiah did? I told you they didn't plan to lie together well.
Yep.
Poorly planned lies. That's what I have to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
December 10th, we did another checkup. They were still in need of water. We brought water and spoke a bit with the family. I went over to Mary and I asked her how was she was doing. She called me in and gave me another kiss.
Mm.
Wow. I gave her a bracelet and she got very excited saying, for me?
Really?
Look what she gave me.
Yeah.
Another complete sentence.
Yep.
This is more that I can't believe that Messiah didn't see our shows, that nobody in the circle of people in the security team or the medic team who are doing live streams constantly, who had people from this show and people from the community of Standing Rock telling them for months now about the story of Kathleen Bennett and Mary Trujillo, that none of these people got a hold of the family and said, I saw your grandma.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I gave her a bracelet. She actually talked to me.
Mm-hmm. And kissed me.
I bet that it would have been heartwarming for the family to hear that lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't heard their mom talk that much in years. And she says, going on, look. Oh, yeah, look what she gave me. I could tell she was in need of human interaction. What the hell is that about?
Yeah.
Is she psychic? Is she a social worker now?
Mm-hmm.
What are her job skills?
Yeah.
How the hell does she know that Kathleen is, or that Mary is in need of human interaction by all accounts?
Mm-hmm.
People visited her all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
By all accounts, Kathleen never left her side.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, she had family members and friends at the camp watching her. Is Jesse Sankey a paramedic or a medic?
Oh, I thought he was a paramedic. But
I thought EMT, paramedic?
Yep.
I can't
emergency
remember.
Emergency medical technician.
Missoula smoke jumper, emergency medical technician. He was there treating her. There was a bunch of people that have already given statements and to their witness of the kind of care, the level of care, the love, the attention that this family heaped on Mary Trujillo.
Exactly.
Specifically Kathleen Bennett. Most of all, Kathleen Bennett, the woman you are accusing with that statement of not giving her enough human contact.
Exactly.
And the first freaking time you walk into the teepee. Oh, I'm sorry. That would have been her second visit.
Yeah, it was.
That would have been her second visit. On her second visit, she'd already analyzed the situation and she could tell this woman was in need of human contact. You know who else makes these kind of prophetic, I can read the future or the room or I have special talents and skills, is Olive.
Yes.
Because guess what? In addition to being on the security team, Olive suddenly became a medic. She said she walked in and she saw an Unchi grandmother, in parentheses, in poor health. In poor health?
Yeah.
How do you know? Did you take her temperature?
Mm-hmm.
Did Kathleen tell you about that too? Because you told us that Kathleen told you that her mother had been raped and hit with the chair, but she failed to mention specifically that her mother had been in bad health also?
Yeah.
How did you guess this? How did you know, Olive? She didn't know. She lied about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were painting a picture.
Yeah.
They needed to paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And they were painting it with zero evidence.
Yeah.
I can see completely through these false statements.
Mm-hmm.
This false messiah statement. I don't understand how these police, how these investigators couldn't read the BS all over Mulaney and Bill mm-hmm. Rex. I can't even understand half of what Mulaney says. She can't string a sentence together without back talking or talking in circles or mm-hmm. loops.
Yeah.
It makes you crazy. But that's what liars sound like.
Yeah.
You can't make sense of what they're saying. They don't make sense to themselves
mm-hmm.
because they're liars. They sound like they're crazy.
Yeah.
I could tell she was in need of human interaction. I was also concerned for her body. Really? Why? Because she didn't have toilet paper?
Yeah.
Every time you came? Mm-hmm. So you claim? Or because she didn't have unfrozen water? They had a stove in there.
Yeah.
If they had water that froze because it got cold, you know what you do? You heat it up.
Mm-hmm. With a stove. It's burning wood to keep you warm.
Right? My grandmother is around the same age as Mary, she says, and is high functioning. Well, that would make her quite different than...
Yeah, exactly.
I also noted that we never saw her out of her chair or in a different outfit.
Yeah.
So they were there on two occasions for probably minutes, maybe an hour. Their reports don't sound like they hung around for very long.
Mm-hmm.
We could definitely ask Kathleen and Russell for more details about that
yeah.
and the other family members.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like a frame-up, pure yeah. and simple.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And why is Messiah saying she's having conversations where Mary's speaking in complete sentences mm-hmm. when Mary doesn't hardly ever talk
exactly.
at all?
Exactly.
Now let's look at the medical record from St. Alexius Hospital, because even the doctors say Mary is a poor historian. We didn't get any of the information contained in this report from her. We had to get it all from other people. And the person that's giving them all the information is this advocate, interestingly, who made the report about elder abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says there, right there on the document, she's being brought in for concerns of elder abuse.
Yep.
That's what she's being brought in for. Okay. So this... again, confirms the fact that Mary is a poor speaker on her own behalf. She can't really talk very much at all. She says one or two words
mm-hmm.
once in a while.
Yep, exactly.
In a blue moon. Michael told me that she said, "I love you" or "I love you" when they were taking off in the plane, and that it mm-hmm. made him cry.
Wow.
And it didn't just make him cry because... she said, "I love you." He was crying and his wife was crying because they were finally taking their mother home to yeah. safety after being in Mulaney's death grip for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to take her home after Mulaney nearly killed this woman under her care. And to be leaving the state of North Dakota and going yeah. back to their home and the rest of the family. And, you know, the sense of relief of, oh, my God, my mom is finally safe, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also, his mom in that moment said something to him.
Yeah.
And that was so moving to him
mm-hmm.
because she doesn't usually speak at all.
Exactly.
At all. mm-hmm. Can't emphasize that enough. And we will have upcoming in other shows as well, other witnesses that actually went to visit her in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Viewers like you, listeners like you that went to visit Mary in the hospital and have testimony and pictures and even video that will show you what Mary is like. More about what Mary is like. We've shown you various videos of Mary.
Yeah.
And you've never heard her say a word.
Exactly.
Ever. Telling?
Mm-hmm.
You decide. Okay. Moving on. I want to get to Messiah's real name here. Because this is another issue that I have with all of these statements given by these people. They don't give their real names, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have more than one alias. Like L'Oreal Blackshaw was really L'Oreal Bell.
Yeah.
How Bill Running Fisher is young Bill Running Fisher, young Bill White Eagle Running Fisher, Bill, a whole bunch of different aliases. Mulaney is not Mulaney Stoneman. She's not even Mulaney. She's Melanie. She's Melanie Stoneman Antonio. Mm-hmm. She's Melanie White Eagle Stoneman. McCowan.
Yeah.
It makes your head spin. Mm-hmm. It makes your head spin.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting about why I found it so interesting that all of these characters have all of these aliases and all of these names, and they just change their name slightly. Mm-hmm. You know, they just change one letter. They add an Indian name. They all of this stuff. It's also many times, I think, to hide all of their other past activities and identities so that people don't have a way of tracing the history of what they know and what they've done, so that they can't be held accountable for their actions today. Because I believe that a lot of people know who Melanie is, Mulaney, as she now calls herself. In fact, many people that do know Mulaney, whatever the hell her name is, have told me no one calls her Mulaney. No one on the res knows her by that name. She doesn't even live on the res. She doesn't even like being around indigenous people. Her father, Gene McCowan, is a Trump-supporting drill pipeline proponent, supporter of the pipeline that went through Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to believe somehow, even though Mulaney Stoneman herself and Bill Running Fisher himself and L'Oreal Blackshaw herself had nothing but nasty things to say about the camp and water protectors.
Yep.
Bill Running Fisher told us that the security team had sex offenders on it. That's the same security team that this Messiah was on. They specifically named Frank Archambault, or Mark Archambault, and they were talking about, or Mike Archambault, I think Bill Running Fisher mentioned a name of an Archambault.
Mm-hmm.
That was a person that was probably very closely connected to the same group of people. This is what people were making accusations about. Crimes occurring at the camp, rape, right? You're going to hear the people in these security teams, including Olive and Messiah and Mulaney and all of these other people, L'Oreal, Von Balaj, talking about, oh, they're bringing meth into the camp and they're tagging Morton County in their posts. And L'Oreal is talking about how Mowgli was caught by Von covered in human ashes.
Exactly.
And you're going to hear about how Arvel Looking Horse and Faith Spotted Eagle told her to do sweeps of the camp for weapons and kick out the Red Warrior camp. And they accused J.R. American Horse of being the guy that made the propane IED that blew off Sophia Wolanski's arm. Bill Running Fisher had that to say. And when L'Oreal Blackshaw was taping an action on Turtle Island and the people were being attacked by the police, she was mocking them and saying that she hopes that they get arrested by DAPL. Hope they get picked up by DAPL or turn them over to DAPL.
Let them take care of them.
Turn them over to DAPL. These people are doing bad things. Mulaney Stoneman was out there saying, these people aren't supposed to be here. Mulaney Stoneman told me these people won't listen. They were told that when the fire was out, when Archambault said go home, and they were like petulant children, they would not listen. They wouldn't go home. There are other snakes. There are other battles. Go home. Go home. Go home. that's what these people were really about. But if you look on her page, on her Facebook page, there are all these people are running the circuit going, well, I'm a water protector. I'm a water protector. Yeah, but you were at the camp doing a bunch of messed up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I called out the messed up stuff that was being done by these so-called water protectors. You're such a great water protector, but you were burning buildings.
Exactly.
Putting people in danger.
Mm-hmm.
You're such a great water protector, but you never thought to report Mulaney when she was put in head of the evacuations at the camp.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And of course, she was accused of stealing solar panels, mm-hmm. yurts. She was accused of exploiting other people and stealing. Once again, even though we told all of you that's what she was doing, and nobody in authority, even though they were told, people were told, lots of people were told, people in the media were told, at the camps, people at live stream, we told you guys, mm-hmm. you know who you are, and I'm going to call you out on future shows because you knew about this, you knew we were telling you what was going on, and you did nothing about it. And yet, you seem to be hanging out with some of the prime actors that are lying or giving false witness against Kathleen.
Exactly.
And that seems real, real strange. Because you can't claim you didn't know this was going on. And you either decided to go along with it or ignore it altogether. Either way, you suck. So, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about a false messiah. Here on A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. You can also catch us online by going to kpppfm.com and listening on the Listen Live link. I very much appreciate, I will be looking at your comments and checking out all the tips, the information, and the support that you are sending for this family. How can folks get a hold of us so that they can do that?
And we love it when you do. You know, you can get a hold of us by calling our message line at 701-566-0917. We'll leave a message. Tell us what we want to hear, what you want to hear. Tell us what you want to say. You know, you can also tweet us at media_PPP. You can also email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke, at kpppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can. You can also follow Cindy's public fan page on Facebook by searching at Cindy Go Shemp. And don't forget to go to our website at kpppfm.com and listen to our podcast. I mean, every show we do, we do a podcast on the air. And so people in the local community can hear it. And you can go there and listen to the tape or re-watch the video.
Mm-hmm. It's infuriating enough, and I know that there's a very good reason for why, no, there's a very good reason for why people at the camp used names, camp names, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Badger and Rattler and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be a good reason anyway,
yeah.
and that reason was so that they would not be identified on their security radios or mm-hmm. on live streams.
Exactly.
Except for the fact that a bunch of the people that were doing live streams were telling people their real names.
Yeah.
So that's on you.
It didn't work. Yeah.
That's on you. That's not my fault. You guys told on yourselves. And so people found out your real names. But here's the part that really irks me.
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell is it included in a police report?
In the police report.
How is it submitted as part of the discovery in a court case?
Exactly.
In Morton County.
Mm-hmm.
Are we playing tiddlywinks up in the house?
Yeah, I think so.
What in the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
When did this become the Mickey Mouse Morton Club?
Mm-hmm.
Why are there fake names, camp names, and words like unchi and all this crap? This isn't a novel.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the last Akichita.
Yeah.
You know what this is? This is a court case.
Yep.
In Morton County.
Mm-hmm.
With lawyers.
Yep.
People are actually sitting in jail. People's lives were actually put in danger. People have actually been exploited and robbed by the people involved in this case. People have been put at risk.
Exactly.
By the people in this case. And that is no small thing, folks. So, Let's look at her Facebook page and see what she calls herself to the world.
Messiah Sweetgrass.
Messiah Sweetgrass. This is what she calls herself to the world. But her real name is Messiah Burciaga Hamid. Messiah Burciaga Hamid.
Mm.
Or at least that is the name that she has given the media in the past.
Yeah. And there's...
there's a picture of her on her Facebook page where she is out in New York, apparently, right after the camps closed.
Hmm.
And she's celebrating all the cool, fun stuff that they just did. Look at that. Why, looky here. One of the witnesses against Kathleen Bennett is making the tour circuit,
mm-hmm.
the Standing Rock tour circuit, telling her story.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool beans.
Oh, yeah.
And what else do we got here? Okay. Ooh. Let's see. Let's see what else we can find that connects Messiah to the security team. Who she was hanging out with. Can you play that video? Show us the pictures first.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Messiah.
Oh.
Here's some of the people she hangs out with.
Yeah. Look at that. She's on the right, lower right. That's Messiah. And who's she hanging with? Is that Mike Fasig right behind her?
Yep. I think that's one of the people in the picture.
Yep.
You know the other people in the picture?
Not really.
Let me know if you do. Love to hear all the other people information that you have. And next, let's see what else we got on here.
There's another picture.
There's another picture. Okay.
Oh, there she is with some other people in Mike Fasig's room.
Mm-hmm.
This hotel room.
Yeah. Okay. And... is there a video?
Yep.
Can we hear that?
Let's do that.
Well, listen to this. Let's see what they talk about.
Maybe we're trying to tell that was a good comment.
That
good comment. Maybe we're trying
to... said they would be in Fort Leavenworth. It says go to the brig, then charged with Article 15.
Yep.
Go to the brig, then charged with Article 15. So these guys know.
Now, some of the keyboard warriors, they're veterans. They may not be able to be here. A lot of the keyboard warriors, they may not be able to be here on the ground with us. But honestly, their roles are just as important as our roles here.
Yeah.
If we didn't have the support of the rest of everybody out there, we would have been screwed. They would have just railroaded us, shot us, buried us. You know, just left us for dead. We would have had no support, no nothing.
I watched the press conference. The governor did mention the talk, but didn't mention names. He mentioned the talk. He didn't say LaDonna then, but who did he insinuate or imply that he was going to be having a talk with? Did he say tribal leaders? Who? What did he say exactly?
Because it sounds like he'd probably have a meeting with tribal leaders.
Rangers lead the way, Robin. Supposed to be
right.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, seeing it just shocks me. Who's in the picture again? We just did a show about Badger/Olive being connected to Mike Fasig and him saying she had nothing to do with it. He didn't know anything, what's going on with anything. And here's another person who has testified basically against Kathleen Bennett,
mm-hmm.
is a witness. He's hanging out with
her.
She's
part of the Tooth Spirit Security.
And she's part of it.
And the people that Olive said she was watching Uchis for.
She's all over in the police report. So how can she be sitting in this hotel room with Fasig, who says he doesn't know nothing and who's part of security?
You're
right about how people didn't get their act together on what story they're going to tell to the police.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay. Yeah. Now, let us go to what we could find about Messiah, because she has she's been at other movements.
Yep.
She's been at other places.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she was at Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
She was featured in a lot of articles. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, Occupy was a huge, huge movement. There's another movement that ended in a spectacularly horrible way. And we'll be looking a little closer at that because, you know what? History repeats itself. Things happen in patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. And if you can see the patterns, if you don't learn from what's happened in these other movements and see how they're connected, you will be doomed to repeat them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what we can learn a lot from what's happened in these other movements. But I believe Messiah became well known from all of these articles at that time because she was brutalized by the police, and there are pictures of her from this Occupy Daily Kos article.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Daily Kos article. There's an Occupy, There's a article about the Occupy Wall Street movement in which she specifically named because of the attack that she and other women received at the hands of police.
Exactly.
And I'm going to just quickly read to you from the Ikevold article. We'll have a link for you along with this show, so you can go and check it out for yourself. You can find that on our page. Here you go. And here is what it says. The use of sexual assault as a force, as a police tactic, was well documented and analyzed in an article by David Graeber at the time. Within Occupy Wall Street circles, this image of a cop grabbing Occupy Wall Street activist Anna Catherine Sluka by the breasts, as well as this image, and we have some images of Messiah here. These are the images that this article is referring to. This image and these images, and there's more here, of Messiah Burciaga Hamid with her shirt completely pulled off by police officers were circulated widely. So again, here it tells you this was all over the country, probably all over the world. According to the Occupy Wall Street Journal, one of the snapshots of the assault on Hamid looked very similar to an image of a woman assaulted in Egypt, and for this reason, allegedly caught fire in Egypt within hours.
Wow.
There you go. So like this image was seen by people in Egypt, and it spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
Burciaga Hamid's arrest was consistent with the random yet systematic targeting of women, teenagers, and men of color for arrest, a pattern noted by many who were following the four-hour march on Twitter. So that's the part that talks about her and, you know, what she became known for because of the contact that she had with the police at Occupy Wall Street.
Exactly.
I will also share with you the Daily Kos article that we just referenced, so you can go check it out for yourself if you are so inclined. And I will tell you that those pictures really do look awful. I noticed that here in this story, Messiah is quite young.
Yeah.
She's a teenager. She's literally a teenager. And there's also a video of the vicious attack on her by the police. It's not very clear. The pictures give a much better idea of what was done to her. But I will have you play the video here so people can see the actual moment.
Get off your bus,
Okay. So, long time ago.
Yeah.
And It seems like...
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to play it again.
From her Instagram and from her Facebook and articles about her from a very young age, this woman has been an activist.
Yeah.
She's been devoting herself to... expressing her views on Two-Spirit Nation as she spoke about it at camp, mm-hmm. as well as black women, mm-hmm. as well as she's indigenous and she's black, according to her, these articles about her. I will share another article from The Guardian and another publication where she also appears talking more in depth about her experience at camp.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why I find all of this information kind of fascinating, because it gives us an idea of what Messiah knows about the world, of what Messiah's experience is in dealing with the situations like what happened at Standing Rock,
mm-hmm.
or how did she end up wanting to be a member of the security team protecting women. And how on earth does somebody that has that as their background, as their purported mission, mm-hmm. as
their life experience from a young age of being an activist.
Uh-huh. How does that person make the mistake of giving this kind of a statement to the police on behalf of Bill Running Fisher, mm-hmm. and Melanie Stoneman, corroborating the flat out lies of this woman who stole all the money out of this elder's account,
mm-hmm.
and nearly killed her.
Yeah.
How does that person, how did a whole group of people who are supposed to be the security of the camp even get involved,
mm-hmm.
with people like Bill Running Fisher and L'Oreal Blackshirt? How did they get involved with these folks in the first place?
Exactly.
How are they even friends with people like L'Oreal and Vaughn?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's very troubling to me that could even happen. And let me share something with you now. I want to share from the Occupy Wall Street stuff. There is a book that she was featured in. And this is interesting to me because the Occupy movement, again, it's something that we can all learn from.
Yeah.
But it was something that, you know, it's been a while now since it happened. So people, mm-hmm. have had a lot of time to think about it and write about it. And there's tons and tons of material you can find about what happened in terms of security, in terms of surveillance, mm-hmm. in terms of police actions. In fact, when I went to a media conference in Oakland, where I believe Messiah is from originally, with the folks from the Center for Media Center for Media Justice,
mm-hmm.
excuse me,
mm-hmm.
We had a whole panel discussion about the specific actions taken by police to shut down people's communications, to do surveillance, to use stingrays, or to block people's ability to use their phones to tweet or to live stream or anything like that, mm-hmm. during Occupy.
Yeah.
So, or to videotape, excuse me. During Occupy. So we have learned, we are still learning, we can learn more from what actually happened there. And Messiah would know because she was there.
Yep.
Messiah Burciaga Hamid said she immediately considered it a pretext for our eviction. Here they're talking about a notice that was received by everyone at Occupy that they had to leave. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to pay attention to some of the parallels at Standing Rock, because you'll hear them, and I find it really, really interesting. Betsy Fagan, a founder of the People's Library, said that many held the same suspicion. We knew because we coordinated with all the other occupations. Austin had been shut down the same day with exactly the same letter, so we knew they were going to try to come and kick us out. Sound like the different closing of the camps at Standing Rock?
Yeah, exactly.
As soon as the notice hit the park, frenzied discussions arose among the occupiers as to how they should respond. An impromptu people's meeting, a consensus-based meeting similar to the General Assembly, but lacking the latter body's formal organization or facilitator, was formed. And after passionate debate, a consensus arose around one simple strategy. If the owners were concerned that Zuccotti Park was dirty, the occupiers would clean the park themselves.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Standing Rock cleanup, anybody?
Yeah.
Hey, wasn't L'Oreal Blackshaw part of the Standing Rock cleanup?
Mm-hmm.
She was in charge of it for the vets.
Yep.
And there were so many people that were on those security teams, mm-hmm, who were out there helping do the cleanup, mm-hmm, and the evacuations. So, going on. If the owners were concerned, the occupiers would clean the park themselves. But what did that entail? According to Andrew, a member of the sanitation working group, a first priority was moving and condensing the personal belongings of the occupiers. But such a condensing effort proved tricky. Where would the belongings be moved?
Mm-hmm.
To storage?
Yeah, really.
There's a bunch of storage happened out at Standing Rock.
Yeah.
Would occupiers remove them from the park themselves? Furthermore, would all occupiers even heed the call to clean the park? Or would some resist? By noon, Andrew said, early concerns were allayed as Zuccotti residents rose to the task. Requests poured in to sanitation for clear plastic bags, 50 brooms, 2 dozen mops. The demands of the cleanup effort quickly surpassed the supplies of the working group, which had only a single garbage can full of perhaps 1 dozen brooms.
Wow.
While these requests streamed in, other occupiers set about informing and rallying Occupy movement supporters, both inside the park and beyond. Within Zuccotti, a word spread of the occupiers' decision to clean the park themselves. Enthusiasm mixed with a general sense of fear that eviction might be near.
Mm-hmm.
As the afternoon wore on, sanitation managed to secure enough brooms and mops to fill the requests it had received. And the occupiers formed what Andrew called a sanitation army. There were veterans involved?
Yep, I guess.
Look at all the parallels.
Mm-hmm.
The cleaning army continued. They had veterans at Standing Rock cleaning up the camp. And at Zuccotti Park, they had a sanitation army cleaning up the camp.
Exactly. Similarity.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The cleaning army continued packing up belongings and, by evening, began sweeping the park through and through, brushing the park's granite walls in successive waves. Meanwhile, several working groups began reaching out to the movement supporters in the New York community in preparation for the confrontation that they expected would come in the next morning. Calls went out over the internet urging anyone who was able to make their way down to the park to help with the immense cleaning effort. The Labor Outreach Committee procured a strong showing of solidarity from the New York unions, contacting park employees, sanitation workers, and custodians, particularly to help with the cleanup. Most significantly, many of the city's unions, including the Communications Workers of America, the United Auto Workers and Service Employee International Union 1199, pledged to send members at 6 a.m. on the 14th, an hour before the scheduled cleaning. And the United Federation of Teachers also vowed to turn out members in solidarity. In an unprecedented move, the New York City area AFL-CIO sent out an emergency email around 8 p.m. the night before the scheduled cleaning with the subject line reading, "Go to Wall Street now." Labor was also lending its support behind the scenes, according to Maida Rossestein, president of the UAW Local 2110. A lot of people were calling the mayor and calling elected officials and telling them to call the mayor, Rosenstein said. People leveraging the clout that they had with elected officials. The legal working groups were also quick to mobilize in network of support, urging all available supporters and individual community groups to come out at 6 a.m. The legal team conducted a comprehensive investigation of the claims made by the Brookfield Properties in their notification letter. Armed with the results of that investigation and an upgraded official sanitation strategy coming from the sanitation working group, the National Lawyers Guild issued a notice of its own directed to the Brookfield property and Mayor Blomberg, in which it denounced the proposed violations of First Amendment rights and warned that prior court approval would be required to carry out police action. As community members, students, and organized labor prepared to descend on Zuccotti early the following morning, the sanitation army continued apace through the night. Benjamin Shepard, an OWS Occupy Wall Street activist, arrived at Zuccotti late in the evening, hoping to find some time to rest before the morning standoff. Upon arriving, however, Ben found the square packed with occupiers and allies. Many of those cleaning had already... Many of those cleaning had already... I lost my spot. Many of those cleaning had already resigned themselves to a long night, including one older man armed with a broom in one hand and a coffee cup in the other, who explicitly warned, "You guys are not going to get much sleep tonight. We're going to clean up all night. We need more coffee." The usually lighthearted spirit of the encampment was notably absent. It had also begun to rain. At first, the drizzle was still light enough that upon finding a sleeping spot shortly after midnight, Ben was able to spread a tarp and sheets and get some sleep. But just after 1 a.m., the drizzle intensified into a downpour, pelting his tarp and soaking his clothes through as it pooled and flowed along the park's granite surface. By 2 a.m., Ben had retired with some friends to the Blarney Stone, a nearby pub they had come to frequent. Meanwhile, waves of broom-wielding protesters continued to sweep the length of the park, while others, including Amina, Malika, and her friend Messiah, painstakingly scrubbed the park surface on their hands and knees, repeatedly going back over spots that they had already rendered spotless several times before. If anything was less than sparkling, the occupiers feared that city authorities would use it to justify a cleaning of their own, not to mention an eviction. And guess what happened at Standing Rock? They were going to clean everything so that they wouldn't have a justification for saying that Morton County had to spend all this money cleaning all this stuff up. And guess what happened anyway? A driving horizontal wind blew through the park, ensuring that everyone and everything was soaked through. While this was a nuisance for those attempting to sleep, the weather was on the side of those cleaning. Zuccotti Park is built on an incline, and the rain that poured into the park and blew sideways across its raised surface flowed down the length of the space and out, helping to sweep the park clean. As the rain poured and the thunder clapped, Amina and Messiah, giddy with exhaustion, cheered alongside their fellow cleaners, some of whom tore off their shirts in celebratory defiance of the storm. There are weather problems.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a cleanup issue. There's...
cats and dogs living together.
No, I mean, it has a lot of the same similar things. So I'm sure, you know, Messiah has experience with this. And she was pretty young. I mean, so this has got, you know... she's been to a lot of other protests.
It's the closing of the camp, you know?
Right, closing of the camp. Meanwhile, at the People's Library, the mood was less celebratory than frenetic. Earlier in the day, the librarians had moved half of the library, 5,000 or so books, to a nearby storage space donated to the United Federation of Teachers. It goes on to talk about that. It reminded me of the Minnie Wachoni School. Yeah. And then how they were trying to save the building, and then they had to tear it down. I mean, there's so many things that are so similar. I think it's worth studying and learning from this and looking at it more closely. So This is what she learned back then. She's gone to many protests since. She's been in many actions since. She's been at many. She's one of those people that's an activist that's talking yeah. about these intersectional oppressions. So when she went to camp, mm-hmm. did she take on that kind of a leadership role? Was she known? Did she get well known for yeah. her stand at Standing Rock? Well, yes, she did. And there are articles about her in The Guardian. There's one, a Guardian article called The Last Stand, which features Messiah in it. And I will share the link with you guys so you can take a look mm-hmm. at it. Here it is. And there you go. Guardian Last Stand article. And then also, you will notice in this article that it's talking about the impending closing of the camp. Water protectors return to Standing Rock as drilling is set to begin. This was right before the camp closures occurred. This is right when Mary Trujillo was
kidnapped,
taken to the casino subsequently kidnapped. This mm-hmm. is right around that time. And this is the article in which Frank Archambault is mentioned. And there is Messiah Burciaga Hamid, who is Apache, Lakota, Mexican, and African-American, who said that she hasn't left Standing Rock since November, even remaining through the holidays when many took a break.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I made a commitment to the land and the water, and I found a lot of soul family here, said the 21-year-old who grew up in Oakland, California. This is about our safety in this country as people of color and as people indigenous to the land. If the water gets sick, everyone gets sick. So she was featured in The Guardian. That's mm-hmm. a pretty big publication.
Yeah.
They don't just talk to anybody either.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they knew that the woman that they interviewed had a much bigger story to tell about all of the stuff she knew about the abuse of Mary Trujillo
mm-hmm.
and how she is given a statement to the police and is listed as a witness against Kathleen in this case.
Yeah.
Does The Guardian know that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I sent the story to The Guardian. They never replied.
Yeah. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that somebody like that wouldn't take the opportunity talking to a big publication like that to tell them, wow, you know, it's important to talk about what we're doing here at Standing Rock, but mm-hmm. you should also know about this horrible case.
Yeah, exactly.
Of elder abuse. Why wouldn't she talk about that? Okay. So there's another article about her in Environmentalists Protest Destroys Environment. And there's a picture and a screen capture of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that article?
Yep. Well, actually, I just had the top of it up.
Okay, you guys need to go look at this article because there is a picture of poop. There's a bucket load of poop.
Oh, yeah.
Go look at it. I can't show it to you here, but... And I don't want to. It's gross. It's really disgusting.
Yeah.
But I want you to get this picture that is always painted,
mm-hmm.
that has this pattern of being painted about the camps being dirty,
yeah.
and there's excrement That's everywhere, right. and manure, and it's dirty, mm-hmm. and blah, 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 you know? This is what was said about Standing Rock as well.
Mm-hmm.
That the camp was dirty, that it was covered in excrement, that the people that were there to protect the earth were actually going to harm it. And I wanted to read you a particular part where it has that. It sounds very much like the excerpt from the book of the Wall Street book that Messiah was featured in that I okay. just read to you mm-hmm. about how the people were being taken out of Zuccotti Park, evicted,
mm-hmm.
and how they were having to clean up because they were being accused of leaving the park dirty.
Yeah.
And there was a feeling even back then in the media that people had that these people at Zuccotti didn't know what they wanted, couldn't articulate it. Mm-hmm. They were a bunch of hippies and freeloaders. This is a lot of the same things that were said or in similar ways were said about Standing Rock water protectors.
Mm-hmm.
That they were, you know, outsiders or professional protesters. Well, I don't know about professional, but Messiah definitely does have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
But here's what it says in this article, completely unrelated, but related to a camp, mm-hmm. Standing Rock Camp. We love the earth so much that we'll destroy it. This is in the Federalist. I don't normally share sources like this. This guy that wrote this article writes for other wonderful publications like Breitbart.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think that's a wonderful publication.
No. Sarcasm intended.
But it says, as the protests stretched into December, no end to the conflict appeared in sight. A particularly brutal snowstorm changed things drastically. As drifts of snow blew in overnight, the crowds plummeted from thousands to just a few hundred diehards. Most of those fled instantly, abandoning the items they had trucked in. This exposed a monumental environmental threat as location created entirely by, at the creation, created entirely by environmentalists.
Mm-hmm.
The main camp was located at the Cannonball, Missouri confluence that was declared a significantly historic Indian trading post. The protesters desecrated that sacred land with garbage, building materials, and months of untreated human waste from thousands of squatters now threatens the very water they claimed to be protecting. The government forced the evacuations so crews could begin the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the cleanup.
Yep.
Filthy, disgusting mm-hmm. pigs with the human waste. Hundreds of large capacity waste removal trucks have already carted out more than 1,000 tons of waste.
Wow.
Another environmental hazard is underreported. Authorities have counted several hundred abandoned cars.
Yeah.
The camp sat on a natural floodplain, and the work now is round the clock to clear out waste and debris before the spring thaw. As spring melts the Cannonball River current and strong enough to carry these left behind vehicles along with fuel, oil, and other polluted agents into the Missouri River.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, it is the desire to prevent pipeline disasters that could pollute the Missouri someday. These globe lovers have threatened the same river with an environmental crisis that is more likely to happen tomorrow.
Wow. It didn't even flood, by the way.
It didn't flood. and if you want, you can go back and watch the show that I did where I talked about Morton County's poop fetish.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the things that, the crazy things that they have said about water mm-hmm. protectors.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also be bringing you very new and interesting insight into the statements of other people, other water protectors, other people that were on these security teams that have given information, specifically information against Kathleen as witnesses and what they had to say. Because I want you all to see how these people are connected to each other, how they have given false statements
mm-hmm.
about Mary Trujillo and Kathleen Bennett and have yet to correct the record, have yet to do anything to allow this woman to be freed. And I will be coming to you more with more updates on this story, this case, very, very soon. The next people that I will be exposing have more to do with this security team as well.
Exactly.
And there's a bunch of people on this witness list I never even heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of interesting stuff. If you have more information about this case you want to share with me, leave us a message on our line. We do pre-record these shows so that we can then go back and edit them for broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have an opportunity, especially because I am looking at a multiple screens that have my notes, the work that we prepared. It takes a long time to do all these research and prepare the show, and then run the show. We have different audio clips that we have to play.
Mm-hmm.
Duke does some things. I do some things.
Exactly.
Moving the camera and also sitting there reading comments. I'm not a live streamer. We run a radio station here, folks.
Exactly.
At 88.1 FM KPPPLP. I actually started doing live streams because a lot of people requested it, but we serve the Fargo-Moorhead metro area. We have a reach of about 200,000 listeners in the area, potentially. And we also have an online presence and an online audience. We've been around for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wide variety of shows that you can go back and listen to. We've been reporting on Standing Rock for over 6 months.
Yeah.
And particularly on the Kathleen Bennett case for about 3 or 4. So there's a lot of information that we have to present and expose to you, which we do in an orderly fashion.
Yeah.
And we have to produce the show in such a way that there's not a lot of pauses and dead air time or dropped calls. I can't really take live calls during most of my shows because of that very reason. So I do set those things up in advance so that we can do a good job and have a smooth show. So I hope that that helps all of you out there understand what we've been doing, what we are doing, why we do it this way, how we do it, and we'll be bringing you more here on A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening. And never forget, Mini Wachoni, water is life.